Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations, also known as AYC, where we talk to students about God, life, and everything in between. Now, let's get started. All right, welcome to AYC. Now, on this audio podcast, you don't see it, but we do. We're in a new setup with a nice couch and chairs.
It looks very nice.
Yeah, it looks.
I wish that you could see it.
It's got a backdrop. It's so wonderful. It needs to be seen to be believed. But hearing it is good.
Should we line by line describe?
Yeah, you can hear my hand across the brown pleather, the plastic leather that is upon. That's a cloth. Anywho, well, it's the end of the day as usual. So yep. Nate and I have posed some questions to Instagram and some Q's, and we got some A's.
Just two A's over here.
Yeah, so you asked the Q's, we got the A's. All right, I'm going to start reading them off. Let's see where we go.
Yeah.
Colin Smith says, when can I come back?
I think doors open at 6 p.m.
Yeah, on service.
Check-in starts at 6 on Wednesday.
And then welcome to the podcast. Yeah, he's fine. He's good.
Can I come back on the podcast?
There's only one other person that's done that.
Yeah.
Shane, maybe?
No, Shane's been on twice.
Twice. Yeah. That's a rare.
I think maybe a couple of the interns last year were on multiple times, but yeah. I don't know, Colin. When can you come back?
I don't know. Good question.
Like, I need you to convince me that you deserve to come back. So
yeah,
say something to me, or like give me some indication of you are worthy of being.
Tell me
on.
What flavor chip I said I am on the previous episodes. Yeah.
That should be the thing. If you want to be on the podcast,
then find the episode.
Find the episode where we talk about chips
and get it.
And say which one Michael said he was.
Yeah. No, give me the bag.
and buy that bag.
Buy that bag.
That's a sure way on the podcast.
One of them was, how do I get over the fear of rejection by Jesus?
By God.
Yeah. Now, is it phrased like God is rejecting me, or how do I get over the fear of rejection?
I think I read it the first way. Like, okay. I'm afraid Jesus or God, in the scenario they said Jesus, I'm afraid Jesus or God are going to reject me. How do I get over that fear of being rejected? Which is fair. I think we talk a decent amount about rejection from people, like and how to deal with, you know, people rejection. I think
it's
especially in high school. Yeah. But how do you deal? I mean, I think probably at some point everyone in their Christian walk experiences, does God still love me? Like, am I still going to make it to heaven? Like, you know, all those kind of rejection thoughts. I think everyone walks through those at some point.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, it's what's true with man isn't necessarily true with God.
Mm.
So you might have been rejected by other people. Doesn't mean the Lord's done it. The message of the cross is how much he's trying to show he isn't rejecting you.
Yeah.
Now, I need to make this very clear, though. People think acceptance means that they think that if I love someone, I accept everything of who they are and all that they are. And actually, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
We love people in our day-to-day lives that we don't agree with the things that they've done, or maybe the choices they made, or maybe the identities they've picked up along the way.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, God will always love you. It does not mean he agrees with what you say, what you do, how you've handled yourself, what you believed about yourself. So the cross is not... Where crosses is really about accepting, is the world trying to accept God's love and recognizing that he wants to transform the world. That this radical, used a million times, but this radical love, this love of God.
Some would say reckless love.
Oh my gosh. Some would say sloppy wet kiss instead of unforeseen.
That's a deep.
No one's going to enjoy that.
Can give us the song title, there, you're on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know why you're 30s listening to this other than your youth pastor. It's yeah, this love of God is in the sense that, like, he'll always love and accept you. It does that mean that the Lord agrees with how you view yourself and how you handle things, all the things I mentioned before.
Yeah.
And that actually is, that's love. Mm-hmm. It means it's not conditional.
Yeah.
It's in Greek, the agape, the unconditional love, meaning you don't have to be something before I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do something before I love you already. We don't receive that love. We don't know it until we come to Jesus.
Hmm.
And you're like, oh, well, that sounds selective. And I'm like, no, think about it. If I had a gift for you, I had $100 and you had your hands closed, I'm like, this is yours. Take it. But you refused to open your hands. You could not take it from me. Now, some of you literalists out there can be like, well, I could take my forearms and my elbows and my knees.
Bite it.
Yeah. Just hand to money example. Mm-hmm. Trying to give you something. You say you want it, but you won't take it. Reception is something for us to be placed in.
Hmm.
The Holy Spirit moving in our own heart. God does pretty much all the work. We need to just open our heart to him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's not going to reject you.
Yeah.
But in that love, he will transform you into who he's made you to be.
Hmm.
And Scripture says that God loves whom he corrects.
Hmm.
So don't take his correction as a rejection of you. It's actually a transformation of who you've always meant to be. So
yeah,
hopefully that made sense.
Yeah.
4 o'clock with a Dr. Pepper Zero in my mouth.
Yeah. I always think of it like whenever God, forgiveness, Jesus talks about forgiveness in the Bible. And one of the disciples says, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother, and he says
Peter.
Seven times, and Jesus says 70 times seven, which is, you know, not, he's not literally saying it's what, 420 or 490.
Yeah.
Forgive my math. Dylan would have gotten that a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Correctly.
the beautiful mind.
Yeah, the beautiful mind. So Jesus isn't literally saying you forgive them 490 times and then that's it. What he's saying is you forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And I always use that as an example and think, why would God ask us to do something that he himself hasn't already done?
Yeah.
And that's in the Bible. Everything he asks, he's done. The kind of love he asks us to show is the kind of love he's showing to us.
Yeah.
So if we're expected to forgive time and time and time and time again,
yeah,
shouldn't we believe that God himself would do the same?
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it's, people still have the feelings.
Yeah.
Well, why do I feel rejected from God? I don't know if it's rejection as much as this distance.
Mm.
Maybe you haven't spent time with them outside of service.
It's good to clarify that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you haven't. And maybe it might be a lot of self-loathing. In other words, you don't like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So much to an extent that you hear about the love of God and you're like, no, that ain't.
Yeah.
That's not real. So, and part of discovering the love of God is you're starting to discover, this sounds so cheesy, but there is a bit of a how to love yourself. There's too much focus on self-love, but there is something like be able to not hate or
yourself,
loathe who
you
are.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But start to recognize that God loves you.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily, I think some of the feelings might be rejection. You might think it's rejection of the Lord, but actually it's distance or it's self-loathing or it's a combination of those things.
You have to be real careful about the feeling side too.
Yes.
Eric and I are walking through that with our two oldest ones right now and really trying to explain and help them understand just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's true.
Yeah.
If you feel like somebody doesn't like you, that doesn't automatically default to now they don't like you. Sometimes your feeling and what is actually true can be two very different things. And so if you're too locked into, well, I feel rejected, or I feel like God doesn't like me, or I feel like God's mad at me, just because you have that feeling doesn't mean the reality. It doesn't make it real.
Yeah.
It feels real, but that doesn't make it real.
Right, right.
And so it's where you have to say, okay, there are times in my life, a lot of times, where I'm going to have to say, I feel this way. That doesn't mean I need to believe what I'm feeling.
Correct. Correct.
Which is why it's important to know what the Word says, know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't change. Your feelings will change. God's word doesn't change.
Right, right. And stability of God's word is important. Many things change in culture. Many things change in discoveries and our understandings of the world around us, from mathematics to philosophy to science. These things change over time. And so people think that the Bible needs to change, but it's worked for thousands of years over with billions of people for a reason.
Yeah.
Truths are eternal. If it's truth, it doesn't need to change because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Right.
Not a temporary. If it's an eternal truth, actually true, it's eternal. Mm-hmm. And we believe this things about Scripture and the love of God is eternal. It's true. We won't understand everything about God, but if we can understand that, we've understood what we need to.
Yeah.
We've understood what we need to.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
Hopefully next, that answers it.
Next question. Jason says, who do you think is the most funniest pastor? Michael or Nate?
The most funniest. Most
funniest. Well, I would say staff thinks that Nate is more humorous, and then I have meetings where people cry in my eyes.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that though is just personality or just nature of the job.
Nature of the, I think the nature of the my job yeah. will never allow me
right,
to
right.
act. Because if I actually, yeah. if I am the funny guy,
yeah, it's hard to be the funny guy and lead at the same time.
Yeah, people will not.
Yeah,
trust me right. to an extent. Yeah. People will be like, yeah. "How are we going to get this done?"
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In none of this, like, because we got real people with real problems.
Yes.
So if right. I'm the funniest person on the team, either I have the most boring team alive, or we are a really fun team that's highly concerning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and it's you know, concerning. It's one thing whenever, like, you and your friends kind of make fun of each other.
Yes.
But then whenever, like, someone older than you and above you makes fun of you, it hits a little different. And so,
yeah, it's not the same.
As a leader, you do kind of have to be careful. And like the people that are under me, I can't always talk to them the same way
right.
I would appear, you know, yes. or I would someone, you know. Yeah, because that can get really gray. I didn't realize this would turn into like a leadership talk, you know.
Yeah, it's it is grayer. Like you don't get to be the body as much because the nature of being a pastor is like, you pray with people. You're responsible for people. We don't take ourselves too serious, honestly, as a mm-hmm. team. It's pretty. We take, you know, jabs at each other all the time.
Yeah,
and
sometimes too much.
Yeah, sometimes too much. We have to
apologize.
We have to apologize, but you know, it keeps it relatively light. No one's mm-hmm. no one's like higher than the other. But you know, in ministry, people come for prayer and have very serious things. So it's like, you're not allowed to always be the jokester. You have to be able to do all kinds of elements. I will say when I was a junior high pastor, I was the funnier guy on the
like
team.
Like the humor was the thing for
you. That was my thing. Because it was like he gets to have all the meetings and I'm just, bro, I was there to just add the dumbest ideas to the meeting. Sometimes... like hardcore chagrin where it's like we are trying to move things along and I come up with an idea like cat facts and which would never happen
spoiler alert
it leaked through this time and I'm like no one's making games in the room fine I'll do it tips fedora
shout out to cat facts which
cat facts,
by the time this episode airs it will have already been played
will be hopefully people go, dear God, get that out of my memory.
Yeah.
Or more hopefully, they're give me another round.
Yeah. I will say, I do think, and I think you'd agree with me, I do think it is important to find humor in the church. Like it is important, I think, because if you're too serious all the time, people are going to think church is boring and they're going to think the people in church are boring.
Right.
You know,
and we just have no lives.
No fun. Right. and obviously there's a line and you have to be careful, but you know, that's something my youth pastor growing up really kind of helped me see and kind of a big, I guess, mantra for him in the youth ministry was kind of trying to get rid of that stigma of like, you don't have to you don't have to be really cold to be in church. Like you can be warm and you can be likable and you can be funny. And there's a place for that.
Yeah.
There's a place for it.
Yeah, it's nice.
The seriousness too.
Yeah. Know? If anything, I think it's like, if anything here, we've had to like pull back from doing like too much.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, that's far too extreme of joking around or whatever. But yeah, so the answer is not me. there you go, Jason. I like this one.
Actually, you know what? You know who I think is secretly the funniest one on our team is Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron's like when she does make a
when
joke.
When she does,
like
it's not
once
often.
A semester.
Yeah, it's not often, but when she does.
Very funny.
She's very funny.
Very funny. She's because she's not naturally funny, it's really funny when she is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah. We don't know about Erica. She just joined staff.
We're still waiting.
So we'll see. We're waiting. Waiting for those jokes. Those yuck yucks. Why? Yuck yucks.
What?
You ever heard of yuck yuck?
No.
Yuck yuck was like, I don't know if it's like an onomatopoeia, but kind of like, think of like Goofy.
Okay.
Kind of like it was.
Yeah,
a
it
sound
sounds
that old
very
comics
like
would
60s.
Use. Yeah, like
you know?
Old comics would move like,
like
yuck,
Popeye
yuck,
like, is like what it makes me.
For
know.
Jokes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But it's too on the line for another word that you just can't say it too much, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
All right. Do y'all pray for healing?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I would say
next.
Yeah, I would say yes. it's
yeah.
It would it's a strong emphasis
in this church, if especially, which is interesting because I don't think most people know. And I think it's because it's not talked about from stage, on any stage at the Ark, main stage, youth, like healing is not openly talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very much an undercurrent of the church.
Yes, it's for those that are like spiritually hungry, figure out that this is a real big current thing.
Which we actually have, if anyone knows or cares, we have a healing class, right?
We do.
It
goes over God's healing.
Is it on Wednesdays?
Uh-huh. Pray for people.
Yep. Yeah, we have a whole healing class that happens every week.
We
for
pray
stuff
for,
like that.
We sometimes we touch it on bigger events like AY Weekend or, you know, there's confession sins amongst one another. You may be healed out of James. So we do that like altar calls on vibe nights.
Yeah.
And then, you know, camps,
mm-hmm.
we get after it. One time we did not pray for healing specifically, and the kid's finger got healed. He was like, yeah, my finger got healed and felt better. I was like,
that's great.
Righteous. Yeah. So something we definitely believe in, mm-hmm. 100%.
For sure.
All right. We're going to go off the chat for our next episode. We're going to save the rest of those questions for the part two.
There it is.
For the part deux in French. So, now with just the last waning bits, the chips that you enjoy.
Let's get to the last
let's
crumbs.
Get to the real. Let's get to
the
real.
Crumbs at the bottom of the bag.
The crumbs at the bottom of the bag. All right, so Nate, you're in 2023 January. You started in youth ministry again from a different chair. You have the wisdom you have now.
Mm.
Take one thing away. Advice that you were given, you're like, that didn't last.
Advice I was given?
That, yeah. Or wisdom you thought you had, and you're like, no, that didn't work. And give yourself something else in return.
Wow. I think early on, I don't think I went overboard, but I think I thought that maybe like my style, my like how I appeared, like my appearance, like I thought that that would play a bigger part than it does.
Mm.
And I didn't like go get a crazy haircut or like dress super crazy different. But I at the beginning, I was definitely like, okay, I'm going to be around teenagers. So I need to think about maybe dressing differently. I need to think about like, you know, how am I going to come across? Like, how am I going to look? And, it doesn't matter. Like either. Yeah. I mean, obviously like there is an amount of relatability that's important.
Right.
I think in youth ministry, but
if you're dressed up too much, I found out it's
yeah, yeah. Like you can there is an element for sure that that you know you kind of want to be aware of, but I think I focused maybe too much on the appearance and not enough on like the personality side of it. Mm. And realizing that most people will like you for your personality and for who you are more so than how you dress or like how you present yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I was very aware about how I was presenting myself.
Yeah.
And I think the longer it went on, the more I was like, ah, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to be fun and have fun and be like the goofy dad whenever I am. And
right.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, that's probably what I would have done.
Okay.
What about you? Cause you went from young adults down to teenagers.
Mm.
So like what would you do? Was there anything that you thought would be similar, but that ended up being different? Like, hey, I thought it would have been the same going from this grade to this grade, but then it was different.
Yeah, because I went from young adults then to junior high.
That's right, yeah. True, yeah. So you even skipped the high
school. Yeah, I skipped high school.
The gap.
And went to junior high. Because I came in COVID, too.
Oh, yeah. That's different.
Yeah, it was. I think... What I take away? There are a lot of lessons I learned. I think it's hard to grip.
Yeah, so there's
a lot of things I had to shift. One of the things was majoring on the right stuff.
Mm.
So it's along that line.
Yeah.
You get into youth ministry as an adult and you're like, what should I focus on?
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing I would tell myself is like, I grieved too much over students that didn't do well.
Hmm.
To this day, I still have to watch it, but I wanted them to succeed. I grieved kind of hard whenever they just would, as Christians would say, backslid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't do well, or they had a powerful encounter with God and they left. Like, I grieved that too much. It distracted me.
Do you feel like you had that problem with young adults, or was it more so it got
louder
with the younger ones?
Young adults, I didn't think they really liked me that much. They were not, even the ones that liked me were not very vocal about it. So you weren't really getting anything.
Yeah.
You weren't getting, my volunteers, I adored my volunteers. Volunteers were lovely and they were very supportive and they were so kind and loving. The actual group was not. They needed help. And some of them were, but for the most part, it was a tough group. And so I think that it wasn't, I didn't necessarily grieve the people as much as like, am I even good at this?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I even like,
because
I'm not like knocking out of the park at all. It was a slow grind of ministry at that time. So for that, it was like, jeez.
Like, you almost felt like you were just trying to survive.
You didn't feel gifted. I'll tell you that. Yeah. You don't feel like you're some super gift. It humbled me pretty stoutly.
Yeah.
So that was more humbling. I think this one was like, you don't, you grieve too much. You want people to do well. One of the things I even picked up this morning, I was done with my workout and I was praying a little bit in the car. And I thought about it prior in the workout, and it came back to me again. Because when I preach, sometimes I'll turn the sound off. I learned this from a big pastor. Turn the sound off, and I'll watch myself. What are your body language? What is it saying? And I've always felt like it's like someone who's pleading. Like someone who has a look of like, listen, please. You need to get this or else. And so that's why I remember the first time I saw it. Scripture, Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah was kind of like that, where he did not like his job. But they call him the weeping prophet in theological circles because he wept what he had to say. He had some tough news to share from the Lord to the people in exile. And it was a rough time period. For me, I'm not as dramatic with all how I relate to it and like the 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, yeah.
But I realize I'm like, I have this pleading kind of thing to me. And I realized the Lord's been trying to work on, you know, that I can tell people aren't listening. And so my heart cries out to, like, please hear this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear this.
Yeah.
Not realizing it's coming out of my nonverbals, too.
Hmm. Interesting.
Of and that kind of, there's a little bit of a grieving there of, like, oh, you're going to hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt people if you don't learn to forgive, if you're not doing this. So it's a natural comes from a heart place, but it can go a touch too far.
Yeah.
So I think I would be like, I would go back to myself and be like, you need to relax a little bit.
Hmm.
You need to relax a little bit, and you need to recognize that you can't make people do things. And I would up my prayer a lot.
Hmm.
A lot. I would up my prayer a lot. That I would change.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. That's good.
Undoubtedly. All right, if you're still with us, if you're still,
the two that are still on.
Yeah, the two that are still on, props to you. If you're still with us, we got a part two coming up, so stay tuned for that. We love you, have a good week, and we hope to see you soon or hope you tune in soon.
Later.